This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 19th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the Environmental Almanac. Rob Cantor looks back at 2008, the year in climate change. We'll also get our forecast for the weekend after this morning's ice storm from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. The Illinois House Committee investigating the impeachment of Governor Rob Blagojevich has adjourned until next week. The House Democrat spokesman Steve Brown says the committee is awaiting notice from federal prosecutors about how to proceed without interfering with their criminal investigation. The committee has asked for the names of everyone identified in code in the affidavit against Blagojevich and for permission to call some witnesses in the impeachment hearings. After yesterday's hearing was over, Brown said even if the request is refused, the committee may have gotten enough information in its 3 days of work this week.
The Constitution talks about cause, and it'll be in the eyes of the beholders on the committee whether or not cause has been demonstrated. I thought today was a fairly enlightening day. Now, for those of us who have been around the building for the last 6 or 7 years, some of it's old news. But in the context of a pattern of abuse of power, an abuse of law, abuse of the appropriations process, I think it all shows a real pattern of behavior.
When the committee is finished, it'll make a recommendation to the full House about Blagojevich's future. Committee Chairwoman Barbara Flynn Curry told the panel it would work Monday and Tuesday of next week before halting its inquiry for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The latest round of testimony in the impeachment hearing focused on some of the more mundane areas of state government. But as Sean Crawford reports, much of it is at the root of lawmakers' problems with the Blagojevich administration.
From rulemaking to audits, the impeachment panel heard criticism of how the administration repeatedly bypassed the legislature, expanding programs and spending tax dollars without prior approval. Some alleged the actions were an abuse of the governor's power, and in a few cases, illegal. Auditor General Bill Holland told the committee about reviews he conducted, including one to import flu vaccine from a foreign country, even though he says Blagojevich knew from the onset Illinois would never receive it.
It was lousy government at its best.
The vaccine was eventually sent to Pakistan, but then destroyed because it was expired. Earlier in the hearing, the director of a rulemaking panel that spells out how state programs will work testified. She says the Blagojevich administration continually ignored directives, meaning the legislature's will was also ignored. I'm Sean Crawford.
A fierce storm has been pummeling Illinois today, particularly northern Illinois, with sleet and snow. It canceled flights, knocked out power, and snarled morning commutes as drivers try to navigate the ice-slicked roads. The State Department of Transportation was pleading with the public to stay home today if possible. The National Weather Service says between 3 and 7 inches of ice and snow fell this morning on parts of northern Illinois. To the south, the ice that coated the southern and central portions of the state overnight has been melting. Tree branches have been breaking under the weight of the ice and falling on some power lines. Thousands of ComEd and Ameren customers are waiting for crews to restore power. As of around 8:30, Ameren listed more than 33,000 customers still out of electricity, including about 750 in the Champaign-Urbana area. The Champaign County Board's Democratic majority played hardball last night with the Champaign Southwest Mass Transit District by voting not to reappoint its chairman. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The vote against reappointing Ed Vaughn to the Champaign Southwest MTD board went along strict party lines. Republicans were caught off guard. Sedaris Republican Jonathan Schrader says that's because Vaughn's reappointment never went through committee due to the county board's light meeting schedule in December.
It's one of those things where we probably should have asked for a deferment, but the majority party seemed fully engaged and ready to take a political snipe at the Southwest Mass Transit District.
The Champaign Southwest MTD was formed to keep the Champaign-Urbana MTD from moving into Southwest Champaign. They're currently fighting about overlapping territory in court. But the newer transit district offers no transit services, and Democrats claim its board members have no intention of doing so. Champaign Southwest MTD board member Michael Suter says the district is putting off decisions about transit service until after the territory dispute is settled. Other members of the 2-year-old transit board, plus now former board member Ed Vaughn, could not be reached for comment last night. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Danville Associate School Superintendent Mark Denman has been picked to move up to the top job in the district. The District 118 School Board says it's chosen Denman over two out-of-town finalists to succeed Nanette Mellon as superintendent. School Board President Randall Ashton says Denman's experience and familiarity with the district were a plus in his case.
It was, I'd say, his experience with our district, which obviously the other candidates couldn't have. The fact that he is knowledgeable in the curricular aspects that we're trying to implement.
Ashton says District 118 is preparing to put new curricula in place as part of restructuring plans for its high school and junior and middle schools, and Denman's familiarity with those issues is needed. Ashton says he was also impressed that many staff members declared their preference for Denman. Negotiations on a contract with Denman will proceed over the next few weeks. Danville School Board is expected to vote on Denman's appointment as superintendent next month. Champaign-Urbana's Public Health District wants to expand dental services to the youngest of patients. The American Academy of Pediatrics initiated the program for infants, but the effort in Champaign is believed to be the first by a public health department in downstate Illinois. The walk-in clinic is offered to kids under three who are enrolled in Medicaid or all kids. Coordinator Alicia Eckhoff says the main goal is to look for early signs of tooth decay, but she says the lap-to-lap approach, allowing the child to rest on the laps of both the parent and the hygienist, prepares them for later in life.
It's very non-invasive. They're right there with the parent doing a very comfortable exam for them. But it gets them used to someone, the feel of gloves on the person, the hygienist's hands. The hygienist, of course, is going to have a mask on, so the child gets more used to having their mouth examined.
The program will run for 2 days each month. It started this week. It'll run today again from 1 to 4 in the afternoon and during the same hours, January 28th and 29th, at the CUPHD offices on West Kenyon Road in Champaign. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor looks back over 2008 at some highlights in the unfolding story of climate change.
The amount of information now generated by scientific efforts to comprehend climate change can make it difficult to feel like you're keeping up. But as 2008 draws to a close, I think it's worth looking back at some of the year's highlights. Toward that end, I checked in this week with Don Wubbles, who's a professor of atmospheric sciences at the U of I and a lead author on the first two international assessments of climate change sponsored by the UN. Recognizing the continued vociferous attempts to sow confusion by interest groups opposed to changes in public policy, Wubbles emphasized that ongoing research substantiates the idea that the Earth's climate is changing significantly and that that change is being driven by human activity. The most dramatic aspect of the climate change story this year was the retreat of sea ice in the Arctic. Since 1979, scientists have been using satellites to measure the extent of Arctic sea ice, and they use the minimum area it occupies in September as a benchmark for making comparisons among years. This year's minimum was the second lowest recorded since satellite measurements began, following the record low set last year. This year's minimum was also 34% lower than the average over the past three decades. At one point this summer, both the Northwest Passage over Canada and the Northern Sea Route over Russia were open at the same time. The continued decline of ice in the Arctic served to underscore the importance of designating polar bears as a threatened species, which the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did this past March after years of foot-dragging. Another dramatic ice story comes from Greenland, where the focus of attention is on how fast the Greenland ice sheet is melting and how that melting will affect sea level over the next century. The most recent estimates used by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change projected that the melting of Greenland ice would contribute between 1 and 4 inches to sea level rise over the next 100 years. But a study published this summer, led by a University of Wisconsin geologist, suggests that projection is too conservative and that melting Greenland ice could contribute between 1 and 2 feet to sea level over the next 100 years. This projection is based on analysis of how the last great ice mass to cover parts of Canada and the U.S. melted under conditions similar to those expected for Greenland in the century to come. Closer to home, the U of I's Professor Wubbles collaborated with a former student as lead authors on the climate science component of the report Climate Change and Chicago, issued in September. That report projects that by 2100, summers in Chicago will resemble present-day summers in Atlanta, even assuming that the global economy makes dramatic moves away from fossil fuels. Under a business-as-usual scenario, the report projects even hotter conditions, 80 summer days with temperatures above 90 degrees, as opposed to the current average of 15. Unfortunately, winters are not projected to be so much warmer. The Chicago Climate Report also projects disruptive changes in precipitation patterns, with increased precipitation and greater storm events occurring in winter and spring, but less rainfall when it is most needed later in the growing season. The good news evident in Chicago's Climate Action Plan is that it's possible for scientists, policymakers, and stakeholders to work together to confront the challenges posed by climate change. Perhaps that's something we'll see progress on at the national level in the year to come.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the Illinois State Water Survey.
Some of the tail end of this winter storm is continuing to move through Illinois and Indiana on this Friday morning, but it should be gone fairly soon. There will still be a chance tonight of some scattered snow in northern Illinois. For today, according to our meteorologist Ed Keyser, snow in far northern Illinois still. In the rest of the northern third of the two states, a mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Central and southern Illinois should see a mix of clouds and sun with scattered showers today. In central and southern Indiana, mostly cloudy, rain tapering to scattered showers. The highs from 25 in far northwest Illinois to around 65 degrees today in the far south. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of a few scattered showers and flurries in northern Illinois. Lows across the two states from 14 in far northwest Illinois to 32 in the far south. For Champaign-Urbana today, cloudy with occasional rain showers and some fog primarily in the morning, the high 38. Cloudy tonight and 22. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 34 degrees. For tomorrow in the forecast, the northern and west central parts of Illinois will still see clouds with snow showers arriving again. And in southern Illinois, mostly cloudy with some showers in the afternoon, partly sunny elsewhere. Highs from 24 in far northwest Illinois to 48 in the far south. Sunday's forecast for Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy, windy and cold, occasional snow showers, and a high of only 12 degrees as the front comes through on Saturday night and into Sunday. Some light snow possible Saturday night. Sunday night, cloudy, breezy and cold with some flurries, the low 2 above. Then Monday, partly to mostly sunny and a high of only 16. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.